build strong partnerships with your internal IT partners, right? The way the market is now, you have so many individual tools at your disposal. However, you want all this data to be integrated and be able to flow downstream, whether it's into your HRIS system or into a reporting engine somehow, some way. You're going to need their help in order to integrate that.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and today I have a conversation with Tony Leoy. Tony is the Director of TA Technology at Beata. Tony, welcome to the show, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Ryan, for having me. Truly appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited about our conversation. We had a fun first conversation. This will be a great extension of that. So let's start, kind of get into your background, if you wouldn't mind, just sharing for the audience a quick overview of your background, maybe how you got started in the space, a couple of positions that you've had leading up to your current role.
Yeah, sure. And it's a bit lengthy, but we'll see if we can condense it, right? So I got into recruiting just like a lot of other folks. And in fact, I saw a funny meme the other day about somebody falling down the stairs. And I think somebody said, this is how I got into recruiting. Yeah. And it's the same thing, right? So I was pre-law at Michigan State. And as part of the requirement for me to graduate, I had to intern a law office. And after that internship, I uncovered that wasn't going to be for me, but didn't know what else to do at that point other than to get ready to graduate. So I powered through my senior year, but I did shadow a friend that was in HR and in recruiting at that point. So I thought to myself, that would be a good avenue for me to try. So I joined a niche staffing company as a recruiter, and I've been in the TA business ever since.
That's great. So if you wouldn't mind taking that into your current role and then a little bit about your current role and the scope of responsibility.
Sure. When I first started at this niche firm, it was placing really technical professionals into the automotive industry since I'm here in Michigan. Moved into a recruiting manager role there. This was third-party staffing, so contract, permanent placement, built a book of business there as well. So did fairly well there. But then I moved into a corporate recruiting role at BASF Corporation, which is where the bulk of my experience lies. I spent over 16 and a half years there, placing chemical engineers, scientists, and various other roles all across North America. This is where I also started dabbling into the recruitment operations side of things, as well as the technology piece. I formally moved into a TA manager role, managing a full team of about 20 recruiters, both contract and full-time during this time period. And I became the subject matter expert as pertained to the ATS and recruitment processes. After that, moved into an internal role after about 6 years of working as a TA manager at BASF. I was asked to lead an effort to get our contingent workforce program managed appropriately. So I spent about 3 years doing that and getting our spend in line, really saving us as an organization probably about $2 million in the first year through some hefty contract negotiations with my procurement colleagues. Can't leave them out of this. But after that, went back into a full-time TA operations manager role, which was my final role at BASF. which I was fully responsible for the technology stack, vendors, back office operations, such as background checks. And during that time period, I felt that we did some incredible things in the merger and acquisition space, projects, RPA, and some other areas. After that, had a brief but great time in a consulting role at AMS, specifically on their talent technology team. However, I was recruited away for my current opportunity as director of TA technology over at Beata.
That's great. That's great. So share a little bit about Beata and the business and maybe the size of the organization, number of hires, and then your particular role in the TA technology space.
Sure. So to outline it, my specific role is I'm the director of TA technology, but I sit really in IT. So it's different than all the other roles that I've been in where I've been reporting directly in the TA. I'm really within the IT group. It has provided me a different perspective, which has been very helpful. As far as my main customer, it's certainly our recruitment teams. We have a number of different practices that have their own recruitment teams that we end up supporting. And we support this through various different technology that they have, but through some of the core technology across the organization, such as the ATS, CRM, texting capabilities, and a few other technologies that are core to the organization. From a volume standpoint, it's interesting. In healthcare, specifically, my current organization, Beata Home Healthcare, is one of the country's largest home healthcare agencies, and they recruit skilled nurses all the way on down to home health aides. And it's been an interesting discovery coming from technical roles and manufacturing roles going on over in the healthcare, really getting a good sense of the difficulty in the marketplace on trying to find good people and what goes into that. But as far as a volume goes, 10,000 people a year. But again, in home healthcare, a lot of that is part-time,
right?
So people are working 10 hours a week. They're dedicated to one customer, maybe 20 hours a week. So there's a lot of people coming in and out of the organization at various different times.
Yeah, and a lot of them have other roles, right? So they may have a role in a hospital or healthcare environment, and they supplement that with opportunities within your organization.
Right. Or they're retired from that, and they're really just looking to help folks, but only do it on their time, which is completely understandable. I mean, Ryan, my wife worked in an independent living facility for over 10 years, and she got to see, and I got to see through her kind of firsthand helping folks out, right? It takes a certain type of person to do it, and it takes the right type of person to do it well. And kudos to anybody who's doing that out there. I really give them a real strong pat on the back because it's a worthwhile endeavor.
Absolutely. My daughter is a CNA and works in a memory care facility. So I definitely can relate and definitely takes a special person. And I'm really proud of her and glad that she is that type of person that can provide that care for those who need it. So that's awesome. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your team. So talk a little bit about your responsibility as a director of TA technology, who's on your team, and how you interact within the organization.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would say that our role is constantly evolving. There's a lot of change going on at Beata. As I've been brought in, I'm leading the efforts on putting out a roadmap for our TA technology stack moving forward. And I have a group of business analysts and product managers that report to me. We truly specialize in the core technologies, as I mentioned before, the ATS, the CRM, texting. There are other technologies that the practices will use from time to time, such as a recruitment marketing tool here or there, but one practice may like a different tool than another. We allow them that latitude to do that. And being in IT, our job is really to take that and to try and do our best to integrate it into our various different systems for the most part. But as far as the roadmap goes, we've been working with our end customers to really understand their needs with regards to from a technology perspective. And we're some of the things in the near future that are changing, such as we will be having a change with our ATS in the near future. We will be doing a couple different things, building some things internally as well. And there's going to be a lot of changes going on over the next couple of years at Beata as it pertains to that.
Yeah, that's great. So those are some good initiatives. What are some of the key challenges or opportunities that your team sees as you're starting to look forward?
Good question. I think there's a couple. My team, first of all, is pretty young. So I'm trying to work with them to get them up to speed, get them moving in a direction where they're not just answering questions and providing support, right? They're in front of the problem. They're looked at as more of a consultative partner versus, hey, this is broken, please fix it, right? So that's one of the challenges for us. And part of that is because we're so busy right now. There's a lot of changes going on, as I alluded to, and we're so busy. Part of that busy piece comes from the fact that in healthcare, and this is something I was not aware of, but it seems like it's a pattern out there. There's a lot of internal technology that has been built over time, legacy technology that is still being used. And in order for us to work with them with some of the third-party vendors that we want to bring in, it's difficult. It's difficult to make that happen. Many of the in-house systems that really need to be integrated, it becomes difficult to do that effectively. So we're really working through a lot of that, whether it's through custom APIs that need to be created, whether it's through just simple reporting, which takes a lot more effort, but gets us what is needed. There's a lot that goes into that.
Yeah, that can definitely be a challenge. And as we work with clients on their tech stack all over the world, it's really looking at the quality of that, those APIs, workflow design, how to create that seamless workflow to create the ultimate user experience and stakeholder experience that you want. When you have those homegrown or systems that have been in place, legacy that may not be some of the more readily available API integrations on the marketplace, and designing those to work effectively can definitely be a challenge.
Yeah. And just to add to that too, additional challenge is the practices and the businesses themselves, because with the businesses giving them that latitude that I alluded to earlier of, okay, you can bring in this technology and we can see how it could work. That also creates difficulty because that's going to need to work with our other systems. And some of these things, they're brought to us after the fact. They're brought to us when, oh yeah, we just signed a contract with so-and-so to utilize this for the next year. Okay. And they didn't even approach us about it. We're working to fix those things. We're working to make sure that we're brought to the table, regardless of what technology it is, especially if it impacts us directly. If it's something that doesn't impact us, we need to be aware of it, but we don't need to be involved in it, such as, let's say it's a sourcing tool, right? And it's not integrating with any downstream systems at all. Then we just need to be aware of it. We need to be aware of it, and then that's out there. But if they want to integrate with our ATS, then that's a completely different story. And we need to be brought in to let them know whether or not it's feasible or not. And they're starting to get that message out there.
Yeah, that's great. One of the things that we run into, I'm curious on your thoughts here, is that one of the big challenges we find working with larger enterprise organizations is how organizations prioritize needs as it relates to technology, as well as defining specific requirements around that technology and what would make something successful. So getting beyond of like, hey, that looks cool, let me do a demo. Yeah, I want that. Like being a little more sophisticated than that type of methodology to pick out your technology. Are there any things that you might share from your experience or how you do things there around how to best prioritize needs or build those requirements to make sure you get the kind of the tech selection piece right?
Yeah, great question, Ryan. And I can just say from my overall experience, I've been with Beata for, it's getting close to about a year and a half now, not quite. So I've had some opportunity, but there's been some things that have been in the pipeline well before I came on board that I haven't been necessarily involved with from that process standpoint. But overall, I think, and this is not something I would say that's new, but it has to be reiterated, has to align with the overall TA strategy for the organization, right? The shiny new bauble won't work for everybody. Mm-hmm. It just won't. If you're an organization that needs to recruit individuals and you need to go to market on a constant basis and in a unique way, then a large enterprise system may not be the right one for you. It might be. But these are things that from a strategic standpoint, as a technology expert, you need to be able to come to the table and offer up those different options based on that strategy. So aligning yourself to the strategy, I think, is important. And that means being close to your customer, being close to that end customer, understanding what's going on. And sometimes that's tough. Sometimes they're moving I was in a meeting last week, internal meeting last week, and someone utilized the term the speed of business.
Yep.
But still, they're moving as fast as they possibly can. And we need to make sure that we're partnered effectively with them in order to move along with them. And it's tough sometimes. It is tough. As I've mentioned before, sometimes we get told, hey, we did this, we need your help with it. And we've been progressively getting away from that. But when I first came on board, there were a couple of instances of that for sure. And so from a best practice standpoint, really aligning to the strategic pillars of TA for your business, understanding those, and then bringing the what you would consider the best technology to the table, not the shiny new bauble that's out there. We all know that AI is getting a huge push right now, especially generative AI. We're still a couple of years away from that being really, truly effective. And there's so many potential roadblocks that could come up. And everybody wants to get on the train, but it could be difficult. We're talking about legal, regulatory type of items that could very well come up that could halt things in your tracks. So it's our jobs to be somewhat aware of these things and bring them to the table so that the end customer really understands it.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. You said some really excellent things there. And I think it's really important for individuals to talk about and think about like how you align to your strategy and your overall vision, being close to the customer and what the end user needs really are and thinking about that. I like how you talk about the speed of business. We always talk about being able to operate at the speed of the market as well as like, well, what do candidates expect and what kind of experience do they want? And I think the best tech and not the shiny object I always talk about with our clients as we're going through there is like, this isn't about who can give you the best demo. It's about like who has the best results from organizations similar to yours and can prove those results. And that's really hard for organizations to kind of sift through that and identify what the right fit is. It's surprisingly hard in this market. There's a lot of noise, a lot of distraction, a lot of this shininess, quite frankly, a lot of BS that people have to sift through to be able to find that. And so people like you and your role are really critical to these TA leaders to help them get this right with so many opportunities to make mistakes.
100% agree. And I was just thinking about this as you were talking there. Had a demo today with a texting provider. And, you know, part of understanding your customer's needs and understanding that allows you to ask the right questions, even right away through those demos, right? And you need to understand that in order to get to the bottom of whether or not it's going to meet the needs of your customer. Now, we all know that sometimes there are other factors at play. Cost is one of them. That means that maybe you're not getting the product that ultimately you would really want. It happens all the time with large enterprise systems that bolt on things, and that's what you end up utilizing. So you need to make sure that you're asking the right questions in order to make the argument to go outside the box. I did that early on in my days over at BASF, where we went through a whole RFP process, and we were large enterprise system, I mean, global organization, right? So we're on one of the largest enterprise systems out there and made a sufficient argument to stay with our current ATS provider. It was a large provider at that time, but it was a standalone provider. It wasn't quite gobbled up at that point yet. And we were able to effectively make the argument to stay where we were because that's who we were using. We basically said, look, if we move to a large enterprise system that you want us to, we're going to go down in performance before we can get back up. And it's going to take us a while. And no one wanted that, right? But if you can effectively ask all the right questions, work with your technology vendors to get those answers, but figure out who else is utilizing them in the market and network your way through and talk to those folks. And then continue asking questions, hammering key points. You're doing the right thing for your organization and your customer at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about really getting down into the details to define what success looks like, define clearly what your needs are and what your desired outcomes are, and then being able to navigate the market effectively by asking the right questions and probing into each of those solutions to identify the right fit that's going to give you the highest possible upside and results with the lowest possible risk and mitigating that risk. And it's really challenging to navigate through that. And I'm always shocked by really, as we work with clients, like how little people really put into that, how little effort people put into a lot of these decisions. We usually come in after maybe they've made some mistakes, unfortunately, or where they've gone through and thought they've made a good choice. And we dissect their choice and how they came about this. And it was like, hey, you know, we did an RFP. Well, what does that mean? Well, we didn't really know who to include. So we came up with some questions or a template. And then we kind of Google searched a little bit. We put a bunch of people in and we looked at some demos. And then we made a decision. And I asked, like, well, who was on this? And like, has anybody that made this decision bought something like this before for a similar type of circumstance? And no, not really. But we had a scorecard and like, you've got decent framework, but you got to be really careful and really deliberate and put in the right amount of work into this choice because, yes, technology is critical and you have to have certain elements of it to get your delivery model right. But making these mistakes are really costly and easy to do.
Right. Yeah. I would 100% agree.
Yeah. Great. Well, yeah, it sounds like you're doing some excellent things. You've had a lot of great experience and early stages in helping Beata get their tech stack right and enable their transformation for delivery. Is there some advice that you would give to others in either the TA tech space or on the TA space or just broadly for anyone in the profession that you might want to share to any of the listeners?
Yeah. In my time, like I mentioned it earlier on the call that I've been in this type of operations technology role, but reporting in the TA. Now that I've been reporting in that IT, I definitely have a bit of a different sense of how things work on that side of it. So one of the things I would certainly stress to, let's say, myself, if it was 10 years ago, build strong partnerships with your internal IT partners, right? The way the market is now, you have so many individual tools at your disposal. However, you want all this data to be integrated and be able to flow downstream, whether it's into your HRIS system or into a reporting engine somehow, some way, you're going to need their help in order to integrate that. Strong partnerships with IT, you'll be able to have a sense of what their priorities are, how they can help you, how they're resourced, and whether or not you'll need the leverage the external consultants that they're going to be able to, these vendors will provide, or even some of the other companies that are out there that will be able to provide those services for you. But even just touching base with those IT partners every once in a while, just letting them know what's going on, it helps them out tremendously, as opposed to just being surprised down the road. It's really building up that network, but your IT partners are going to be critical. Again, if anyone's looking, and I know everyone is, you're looking to pilot something, you're looking at maybe piloting a generative AI system, you're going to need their help in order to do that. So partnering them early on, I think, is a key piece of being successful in launching any kind of TA technology.
That's great advice. And I think, yeah, that collaborative aspect is really critical of not designing in a vacuum and then just going once it needs approval to move forward with surprising your internal partners who have to be a part of obviously implementing the solution and helping you be successful with it. So I think that is excellent advice on how to collaborate, how to think about that. And I appreciate you sharing that perspective. Most of us that operate within TA only sometimes don't think enough about how to collaborate effectively with those internal partners that ultimately help us become successful. So I think that's excellent advice. Thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, great. Well, Tony, I really appreciate you joining me today on the show and appreciate the insight that you shared. So thank you very much for being a guest on the TA Leaders Podcast.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. This was great, Ryan. Thank you very much.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.